Guy Raz is on the show today, and those of us in the building are more than a little thrilled about it. He has a brand new book out. It is called How I Built This, The Unexpected Paths to Success from the World's Most Inspiring Entrepreneurs. This is all based on the highly acclaimed NPR podcast, How I Built This, with Guy Raz. The book offers insights and inspiration from the world's top entrepreneurs on how to start, launch, and build a successful venture. He is an award-winning journalist, an NPR host. He has interviewed more than 200 highly successful entrepreneurs to uncover amazing true stories like these, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Guy Raz to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a real pleasure to have you on the program. We've admired your work for a long time, and it's a delight to have you talk about it and to talk about this particular book. So let us go back to the podcast of how that began and what the idea was behind it initially.
You know, I, like you, like all of us in public radio, I love telling stories. And that's what I've done my entire career, whether it was as a foreign correspondent covering wars and conflicts. I've been on the air for more than 23 years with NPR. And for me, the part of reporting and journalism that was always the most compelling and meaningful was the stories, not the day-to-day news, this happened, that happened, but the stories of people. I've always been attracted to heroes' journeys, epic stories that I'm sure many folks listening will be familiar with Joseph Campbell.
Yes.
And
yes,
his thinking on heroes' journeys. And I've always loved those stories, even movies like Star Wars. And, you know, many years ago, I had an opportunity to take a class, one class at a business school. And I discovered that the way they teach business school was through the case study method. It's something I had never known before. Essentially, it's stories. Business schools teach students through the stories of entrepreneurs, the mistakes they made, the journeys they had, they went on. And it really inspired me to kind of think about telling those stories in an audio format in a radio show or podcast. And so that's really how it began. We started the show 4 years ago, and really the idea behind it is that it's not a business show, which sounds a little bit strange because it's about entrepreneurs and people who have created incredibly successful companies and brands. But I think of it as a storytelling show, a narrative journey, a human drama show, because in building a business or any idea or any enterprise, there are incredible highs, incredible lows. There is despair. Often there's loss and collapse and, you know, all kinds of things happen during that journey. And so that's really what I wanted to capture with the show and of course, with the book.
You start off in the book very early by saying that entrepreneurship defies many of our most human instincts. Talk a little bit about that and how we are able to defy those instincts to do something special.
Yeah, I mean, look, we, for very good reasons, we humans have a natural aversion to danger and to risk. And we need that because that's why we're still around 340,000 years after we first emerged in the savannas of Africa. We had to escape danger. And so that protected us. Today, those instincts are still useful, but sometimes harmful because they prevent us from taking even modest risks to achieve really incredible goals and dreams. You know, I think many of us have a natural aversion toward introducing a new idea or taking a risk because we're worried about failure and judgment. You know, we naturally want validation. And I think it's what holds many of us back from pursuing an idea, either on our own or even within the organizations where we work, because we want to present something and instinctively we want people to say, that's great. You know, I love that. Let's do that. But I think for the most part, we avoid that because we're worried about hearing, no, that won't work. I don't think that's a good idea. Why do you think people will want this, et cetera, et cetera. And really what differentiates the entrepreneurs that I've profiled in this book, people like Richard Branson or Howard Schultz or Sarah Blakely, who founded Spanx, or Ben and Jerry, who founded Ben and Jerry's, is that they developed the ability to withstand rejection. And they did this in a number of ways. Many, many of the entrepreneurs who've been on How I Built This started out in sales. Literally, Sarah Blakely was literally selling fax machines door to door early in her career. So she heard the word no a lot. And when you hear that again and again and again, it actually, it's sort of a form of rejection exposure therapy. And I've heard time and again from entrepreneurs that they really learned how to withstand rejection. And it was a really important lesson that enabled them to take the leap and to take the modest risks that were necessary to start their businesses or to put their ideas out into the world.
And longevity, too, is what a lot of them have in common, that they're able to have those ups and downs, but in the end, be able to be around for a long time.
To persevere. And it's all connected. I mean, it's all connected to this ability to learn how to withstand rejection. Because, you know, there's a story that that we've had on How I Built This. It's a story of Kathy Hughes. Kathy was a single mother living in Washington, D.C. in the 1970s. She's African-American. She was working at a prominent African-American radio station in Washington, D.C., and decided she wanted to strike out on her own and buy a radio station. She had no money and no collateral, and she went to 29 banks seeking out a loan to buy a radio station in 1981 in Washington, D.C., and 29 banks turned her down. She pitched banks all up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Finally, bank number 30 agreed to give her the loan. That was in 1981. Today, Kathy Hughes is one of the wealthiest self-made black women in the United States. She owns one of the largest African-American-owned media empires in the country called Urban One. So to get to that 30th bank, she had to persevere. She had to withstand all that rejection again and again. And so it's connected to this idea of longevity, you know, that any kind of pursuit, any kind of journey is going to have setbacks. You know, even I'm sure you can relate to this. I mean, even in my career now and in my, you know, I've been in this world for a long time. There are setbacks. There are times where things are not going as well as you want them to go. The point is that success is not a destination. It's not an end point. It's sometimes there's success, sometimes there's failure, but it's a constant, you know, push forward to kind of get through those moments of failure and crisis, because like success, they are also temporary.
Yeah. And you have to have great confidence that what you're doing can persevere, because most of us, I think, especially those of us in this business, wouldn't think that going and buying a radio station would be, oh, there's a path to success.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. You would think so. Right. And maybe it's a little bit different now in this world. But I think a lot of it has to do with, I mean, the idea of confidence is, it's a tricky one, because I think all of us have moments where we are feeling more confident and less confident. And it doesn't matter who we are. You know, I mean, I think what really ultimately matters, and what has been very helpful, what I found has been very helpful for entrepreneurs, is when their motivation is not money or the pursuit of fame or glory or recognition, but it's about a mission. And it's about a mission connected to what they're doing. And that mission is often very much connected to the people who are part of it. You know, when the pursuit is not about you, but about something bigger than you, it becomes much easier to believe and to feel confident about what you're doing. I'll give you an example. One of the people profiled in this book is Tristan Walker. And Tristan, he is a black man who was very frustrated at the fact that you could not find a good razor for black men. You know, many black men suffer from razor bumps because of the way that traditional razors are made. They shave very close under your skin. And when you have curly hair, your hair grows back into your skin, and it creates very painful razor bumps. And so he wanted to create a razor designed for men of color and also men who have very curly hair that would prevent that. The problem was all those kinds of razors available were kind of shoved aside in the ethnic aisles of the dusty ethnic aisles of the drugstores. So he created a beautiful high-end razor called Bevel. He wanted it to be like the Apple iPhone of razors, beautifully packaged, beautifully made. And he knew that it would serve a community that was long neglected. Many, many investors weren't interested. Many people weren't interested in this product. He heard no so many times, but he was so determined to do it because he was motivated by a much bigger mission, which was to serve a community that was underserved, that wasn't being served by the marketplace. And he knew that this had to be out there in the world. He also knew that if he couldn't do it, then nobody could do it, because he really believed there was a market for it. And of course there is. Today, Bevel razors are available in every major retailer drugstore in the country. It's now a subsidiary of Procter & Gamble, and Tristan Walker is on the board of Procter & Gamble, and the youngest and only black CEO in the Procter & Gamble family. So it's an amazing story, and there are countless stories like that where people push forward and find their confidence because they're motivated by something bigger than themselves.
So let's get personal for a moment, because you have a chapter in the book called Know Thyself, which begins with when I left Weekend, All Things Considered, to become the host of TED Radio Hour in 2012. More than a few of my friends in the news business thought I'd lost my mind. I was the host of a very popular show that aired on 800 radio stations, including WAMC, across the country every week. And I was giving that up to do what? A podcast? Who listens to podcasts? It was as if I had decided to leave all my worldly possessions behind and walk alone into the wilderness. You go on to make the point which you were talking about at the beginning of our interview, which is you were technically changing jobs and leaving the news, but you weren't changing who you were. You weren't changing what you had done, what you were doing.
Exactly. And I wasn't changing.
Telling stories.
And I wasn't changing the mission of what motivated me and pushed me. You know, I loved being the host of Weekend All Things Considered. I loved that so much because I was able to really – it was a sandbox with an incredible team of people, some of whom I still work with to this day. But, you know, when I left that world to really get into the podcast space, it did feel scary, you know, because it was unknown. And I wasn't really sure whether – what I was doing was going to work or whether people were going to listen to it. But you're right. I mean, the core and the values that I brought to that job didn't change, you know, and I think many of my colleagues at NPR on the news side, they share those same values, and they are committed to that same mission of storytelling. I mean, it's really what we do in public radio, right? It's whether it's How I Built This or Planet Money or Morning Edition or All Things Considered. Ultimately, we are telling stories and using stories to try and inform and enlighten and hopefully engage listeners all around the country and now even around the world that are listening to our content and our audio. You know, in countries as remote as Yemen and you know, in small countries in Africa, we hear from people all around the world. So it is, you're right, it is the same family of content material really designed to educate and inform and hopefully even inspire.
So in the minute that we have left, Guy, talk to us about what you hope people take away from these stories, from these inspiring stories about these incredible people.
Look, we're living in a really challenging moment right now. This is a challenging moment for everybody in the country for so many reasons that I can't too many to enumerate. But I think right now we do need stories of inspiration. We need those stories because all of us have the ability to do really, really incredible and cool things. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a rocket ship to the moon. It can be something in our own community. And this book is really designed to as a shot in the arm. as a guide and a sort of a phone booth where you can walk into and put on the cape and walk out and fly. And that's what I hope people take away from this book. I hope that this is the phone booth, and you put on the cape and you leave that phone booth and you go and you fly.
I respect anything that allows us to put on a cape and soar in the air. The name of the book is How I Built This, The Unexpected Paths to Success from the World's Most Inspiring Entrepreneurs. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Guy Raz, what a great pleasure. We are big fans of you and your work, and we thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.